Yeah.
All right, man.
What's up? All right.
Dude, you know what's up, dude. 6 threes from Kaysen motherfucking Wallace.
5 for 6 in the first half, guys. And then truly outstanding, man.
The half court three in the second half.
He's just playing with us, man. He's just playing. He's like, whatever you can do, I can do better.
I don't get it, man. I don't get it. I think that I know something about basketball, right? And I had all these questions about him. In one summer league game, questions go forward. Bye, 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 bye. Just like Britney said.
But listen, it's...
Wait,
I love that Britney right there.
That wasn't Britney, dude. That was the Backstreet Boys. Sorry.
I don't care. The Britney throw in there was great for old Victor's sake, bro. She grabbed me. All right.
She manhandled me.
All right. So I think it's incredible to see Kaysen step in like he did, man. Like I have to say is that like there's moments that young players come into games and you're like, okay, that dude's ready. Right. But he's been watching the three games in Utah, just sitting on the bench, waiting for his moment. And then all of a sudden his moment's here. And it wasn't like his shot was so fast that even after his release, he was still open. You know how guys take a little bit of time and they release and then they're not open by the time they're shooting. He was so fucking fast. His release was insane. His defense, the way he got up and down the court, I think he had what, 2-3 steals. Like he was everywhere, man. Like
playing pace,
somebody like that makes Sam Presti, who was sitting in the stands, right, saying, at what point am I going to have to pull that ripcord and save money on this team in order for Kaysen to get that starting position? And all of a sudden, he's sitting there going, oh, man, if he can do this in his first year, dude, it becomes another J-Dub situation. I mean, think about it. If he comes out there and he does what he did in the summer league and he's just dominating, how are you going to keep him coming off the bench? You can't.
Can't, dude.
What's up, James?
You're so right, man.
Let's take a second though before we get any further.
Let's do it.
All right, man. You gonna go ahead and read our supporters, guys?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. Give a massive shout out to YouTube for making this available to us and everybody on YouTube who has given us your support. We love you. Mark Hawitt, Ryan Sheffield, Alsambra, Niner by Nature, Unk, John Flatt, Blake Thompson, Kay Bizzle, Smitsta, Cameron Peters, Wayne Hode, Bluegill, and Golden Soldier. You guys are the founding members. Everybody else, you are too. But we got to give a special shout out to the people who have financially put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah, and I want to give a special shout out to Niner by Nature, man. This dude listened to us for 2 years on Apple Pod before switching over, not even switching over, but started watching our videos on YouTube. And man, it meant a lot. Like the fact that he's not just throwing a support out there, but he's also letting us know how much he appreciates us. And every single time that we're on there, on the live show and Niner by Nature shows up, he is incredibly positive. And I love that, coming from somebody that's listened to us for so long, because I don't think I could listen to myself for 2 years nonstop. So I appreciate it that, you've done that, Niner by Nature.
Absolutely, man. And Smitsta, big shout out to him. Passing out, gifting out all of the memberships. We love it. We call it the Worldwide Thunder Family for a reason, and you guys are all a part of it. Whether or not you support us, just showing up, listening, and jumping in the chat and talking to us, it's all support. And let's jump back and talk about the pre-draft situation when we looked at Kaysen Wallace.
Yeah,
and
man.
Let's talk about the contrast between that moment and how we feel after one summer league game. Has your opinion changed a lot?
No. What I said about in the pre-draft is exactly what I felt like I saw in the game one. And now we're not supposed to get too hyped about summer league, but the reality is that when a player comes out and looks that good, I mean, he looked as good as J-Dub out there, and J-Dub's had a year in the NBA already. And I'm not saying that there wasn't a body size different and there wasn't a, J-Dub get into the hole incredibly easy difference. But what I saw with Kaysen out there is an opportunity for him to shine in the summer league like J-Dub. You know, like this is it. You know, like this is an opportunity for him to start earning respect from the coaches, respect from the GM, the assistant GM, and ultimately the president of basketball there. So like this is a big moment. And I love the fact that he went out there and did what he did the first game he played, because Sam Presti was there. In a way, he was thanking Sam Presti as being like, I got you. I got you. You're going to be happy you picked me, you know? And man, that's special, bro. That's special. I'm excited. Like, you can say whatever you want about this team, but you know, for me, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, Cason Wallace is the perfect example of how the NBA used to be an ISO league, a complete ISO league, where it's like the best player against your best player, you know, head to head, right? A gladiator league has now turned into team basketball. It's all team hoops, man. Like, who's going to have the best team out there, right? It's not about the best player. It's not about who has LeBron. It's not about who has Michael, right? It's who has the best team all around. And this is what the new NBA is going to be like, because you're going to have these players that are going to be the best players in the NBA, but they're never going to get out of the first round of the playoffs. And you're going to be like, why hasn't this player ever gotten the first? Well, he doesn't have the team around him to be good. That's why the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's why we all have to start watching what's happening with the Oklahoma City Thunder, because they're going to rewrite the books of how to create a team. Not just to create a team, but now we have 20 second round draft picks in the next 7 years. We have 15 first rounders in the next 7 years. That's astonishing on every level, because now when it's time to ultimately fill in the blanks to what we need, it's easy. Because we have every asset anybody could ever want. And it's easy for us to say, you're willing to give 3 first round draft picks, and that's the max amount of draft picks you can give, but we can give 4. Not just that, but we can choose A, B, or C of the 4. Meaning they can have a really good one, they can have a medium one, and a bad one. And throw in there, we'll give you a second good one just to get this deal done. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the shit that we can pull off that nobody else will be able to do. And when everybody else is trying to connect the dots and say, oh, how do we do this? It's going to be already too late, because we're going to have 1 or 2 championships.
So what's up, Eaton? Yo, let's talk about, let's talk a little bit about making the case for the Thunder being the future, and not like the future of tomorrow, but the future today, right? Like, first of all, I'll get started and then I'll let you take over here, because really this is about the depth, but let's talk about the top-end talent first. We all know about Shai, first-team All-NBA. He's going to be a starter for the All-Star team coming up in no time, right? And then you have J-Dub, right, on the way up. You got Giddey. Mm. He's already asserted himself as one of the best young players in the league. You throw in there Chet. You throw in Cason, right? We can get easily excited about Dort. We can get excited about J-Will, what they bring to the defensive side and stuff like that. But really, when we start talking about the players, we don't talk about being 5 deep, 6 deep, 7 deep.
No, right? We don't do that, because that's for other teams in the league to talk about. We got the best 7 players. Cool. We're 15 deep.
Right.
How else do you want to explain this, guys? We have 15 guys. We have 3 teams that can go out there and dominate. I think it's like 75 different combination of players that we can play at any given time. How many teams are going to be able to play with that?
What's up, Frank?
Frank.
I'm thinking, like, only teams that don't have top-end talent can do something like that, right? You can't have top-end talent and that level of depth, right?
No.
And Frank's a great question here, dude. If we're healthy, do you think our time is now? Conference finals. And that's what I want to say. Like, I do. I think our time is now. I don't think it's tomorrow.
All right. I'm a little bit more of a realist. I'll be honest with you. I like to think about things a little bit more. I hear what you're saying with this, Mark, and I applaud you, because like in every aspect, I want to say this is the year for the conference final, right? But for me, like, I look at this team, and even making it to the first round of the playoffs is a successful year. You know, like, to me, that's where I'm looking at this team, and I get it. Like, I want to see this team win more. But the reality is that this team hasn't had a chance to play a 7-game series. And so if we go into that 7-game series and we have a bunch of hiccups and we have a learning process, I'm still applauding and excited about this season. But if we go out there and we just sweep the first team, and then we go out there and we go and win game in 6 in the other second round, and we get to the conference finals with just having like no competition essentially, then I'm all for it. You know what I'm saying? I'm all for it, because at that point we're ready. We are fucking ready. But how close are we to that? I don't know, man. I'm still trying to figure that out.
So this is where I get myself in trouble.
J-Dub is so good. Like, it's hard to really know what we're going to be able to do until we're out there playing against the other competition in the NBA.
And this is what I dig what Eaton's saying. I think like next year, only injury or very stacked opponent might stop us if all the stuff clicks with Dub and Chet as expected. I think for me, I kind of feel the same way. Like coming into Summer League, Dave, like I felt exactly like you. And I talked about it a lot. Like we shouldn't set the expectations too high. And if
You're not setting expectations. You're just saying what you think. Right. That's not expectations.
If we got to the playoffs, I felt like that was good enough. If we could get in at the, like, if we could skip the play-in, get in at the 5-6 seed, if we had a chance to win the play-in and get in, either one of those things would have been, you know, good enough. But the Summer League has me thinking irrationally. And I know that it's really, really silly to get too pumped about Summer League. Every single year, everything that we've ever learned has said, don't do this. But Chet is that good. Defensively, he's just that good. Like, and I get like offensively, there's still some questions and stuff, but he's still, even with being rusty, he adds so much to the team.
Yeah.
And Kaysen is that good, bro.
That chase down block Chet had last night.
Mm-hmm.
To me, like there's moments in
that's right. James top
plays,
four.
The IQ plays that happen. It's like,
that's right, Frank.
I went and watched that play a few times and then I went back and we watched it a few more times because I wanted to know where Chet was starting because Chet was the last player that was running back. He was the last player. He went from the last player from running back to blocking the first player that was getting down the court. I mean, like truly spectacular. Like the way that he just opened up the speed for four strides, and that's all it was four strides. And then he was there. Like, it was like, what? Like, we can say whatever we want. But that motor that he has, does it make it a competition? Like, I missed that offensive board, right? Now I'm going to get back and create a defensive stop. Now, the play didn't go our way because they ended up getting a three-pointer out of it, right? But the point of it is that Chet's like, oh, hell no. That's not how this is going to happen. The competitive edge forced him to get up that court. It forced him to get to that next gear, and it forced him to get up and block that ball. That is what we've been all talking about. We've been saying it since day one. There's that, you know, different aspect to Chet that nobody else is really truly understanding in the game. And then we heard what Patrick Beverley said. And I was like, that's what I've been saying, guys. That's that dog in him, you know, like he's willing to do whatever it takes. And I think about it, like, you know, that's the biggest question I had about Victor. It doesn't mean that Victor is not going to be a great player, right? But the difference between having the dog in you and not having the dog in you is the difference between being a cat in the NBA, right? And being a LeBron in the NBA. I mean, that's the difference, you know? Like, you both play power forward.
Victor, does he seem like more of a cat or a LeBron?
Dude, it just reminds me of a cat. When every single time I watched him play, it just reminded me of a cat. And that's the thing about it. When I watched Chet play, Chet has that, I want to be the best no matter what. And when he tells you about it, you believe it. Like the way he says it, you believe it. You know, like Victor's like, yeah, I really do want to be the best player in the league. I mean, like, where's the belief? You know, like that's what I'm saying is that there's a difference between Chet and the rest of the guys in the league right now. And it's that mentality of he wants to get it done. And then you add J-Dub into that mix and you add Shea into that mix and you add Josh Giddey into that mix. We have guards that are power forward and forward size guards that are going out there. Right. And then we have Dort playing defense like he does, man. This is insane. We watched Chet the other day in Salt Lake City play point guard. Like, it's insane, guys, what we can do with the ball. Like, everybody else is sitting there saying, oh, what if we do this? Oh, what if we do this? No. Let us show you how to do it. You get 15 players that can play, 12 of which are going to be guards. And you're going to play so hard and so good that everybody else is going to sit there and try to figure out how to connect the dots. How did this team get so good that they can play 15 guys against us?
Dude, we appreciate you, James. Thank you. Listen, Dave.
Yeah, James.
Let's back up to last year. Last year, Summer League, it was mostly about Chet. We got excited about J-Dub, but most people were like a little bit unsure of what we were really seeing, right?
Dude, what did we say about J-Dub after the preseason, though?
I don't remember, but I know we were pumped.
I said that I felt like J-Dub was going to end up being one of those players that is going to end up being in the top five in the Rookie of the Year because he showed too much in that aspect. And I saw the same thing in Kaysen, man.
So let me ask you with Kaysen, because like five, with J-Dub, with J-Dub, we were like, all right, where he started and where he ended wasn't the same. Like he came in, obviously he broke his face at the like first game. And then, so he got a little like, you know, stutter step at first, but then he started catching rhythm. By the second half of the season, he was a different player, right? He found a way to fit in and stand out at the same time.
Who broke his face again?
It was the Timberwolves. But I don't remember.
That's right.
I don't remember which guy got him, but, my question with Kaysen is not necessarily where he'll start the season, but where do you see him contributing in the second half of the season as he gets like really into the flow of what we're trying to do?
All right. When I scouted him, I said I felt like if he was going to play on this Thunder team, I don't know if I said this on air or not, but I felt like if he was going to play on this Thunder team, I felt like he was going to make Dort's job difficult by the end of the first year.
Okay. So that's exactly what I'm talking about too, right?
Yeah. Like I the first half of the season, he's going to be getting the flow, finding out his groove. And then it's the second half that he's going to shine. And it's going to be like, okay, guys, you know, what are we going to do now? Because we have a young blossoming player that's ready to go. Because I really like Kaysen. I like his game. He was my favorite guard on the board. I really like Scoot Henderson, but I knew that he was unable to be able to be somebody that we were going to have on the team. But when it came to Kaysen, I was like, this is it, man. If we're going to get a guard, this is the guard that we're going to get. And I even said that on the pod, like, this is the guy that we're going to get if we're going to get a guard, because there was no other player on the board as a guard that was like, oh yeah, 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 he's somebody I want on my team. Dude, Kaysen, the way he talks, the way his demeanor is, the way he's just chill and just relaxed, and the way he gets super amped up and playing defense out there, and how he's able to recover after he gets beat. And there's so many things that he can do that's like, ho, 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 the kid's special. It's not just one thing he brings to the game. You know, it's just not one thing that he's like, oh yeah, he can go out there and score. No, 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 no. He's a many dimensional player, dude. He's got so many different aspects to his game. It's going to take a long time for us to unravel how good he's going to be in the NBA.
Yeah. And like Eaton saying about McDaniels being the one who ended up breaking J-Dub's face. He ended up punching a wall and missing the playing game. So karma got its man. So let's talk about
McDaniels.
Like rookie of the year, right? We can talk about Chet, and we can talk about Victor. We can talk about Brandon Miller. But let's take all those guys out of the question, right?
Yeah.
And let's just say the top guard for rookie of the year in voting is going to come down to, in my opinion, and I could be wrong here, guys, but Scoot and Kaysen. Okay? They're going to go 1-2 in guard voting for rookie of the year. Make a case for Kaysen being a better player than Scoot.
Well, Scoot's going to come out and start right away. All right? But with the Blazers, the way they play players, I think it's inevitable that Scoot's going to get injured. And he's going to miss a substantial amount of games. So for me, it's about Kaysen staying healthy. If Kaysen can stay healthy the entire season and play in all 82 games or play in 78 games or something like that, you know, and average even 15, 20 minutes a game, then yeah, he's going to finish above Scoot. Because the Blazers are still in this mode of, you know, Damian time. When they switch off from Damian time and they start trading some of these other players that they have now, then yeah, then I'll believe what's going on. But like right now, they still got Jeremy Grant. They still got Anthony Simons. Like got enough players right now that it's like even if Dame goes, like they're still going to try to compete. So if it's just straight up and they both play 78 games and Scoot's going to have way more minutes than Kaysen, unless Dort or somebody like that gets injured on this team, then Kaysen's going to be right up there.
Do you think Kaysen will have a better career than Scoot?
I mean, you're asking me, I'm a homer.
Right.
Right. Well, but
let's talk about
I'm also a realist in that aspect though. So I think Scoot's going to be one of those guys that he's going to average 23 points plus points a game in his career. You know, he's going to do very, very well, but I think Kaysen is going to be known as a starting guard on a championship team. And that right there is going to be really hard to beat, especially if you're the Blazers and you can probably sneak into the playoffs a few times during Scoot's career, you know?
Yeah. Like, well, all right, so with Scoot, let's talk about his game, right? He likes to get downhill. He relies on athleticism to finish. He's a good playmaker, but mostly he makes plays for himself.
Yeah.
Kaysen is probably a better defender already, right? He has a better three-point shot.
Yeah.
His game is more perimeter-orientated, and he's a better playmaker. I'm just like, if you, I get the hype around Scoot, but if you're just like looking at like these players on paper, you would think the one with Kaysen would be better.
I go back to, how would Scoot look in college? If Scoot was on that team and Kaysen was on in the G League, what would be the situation? Well, I think the situation would be reversed.
Really?
I think Kaysen in the G League would stand out incredibly well because his game in the NBA is something that's is special. And I think that being Kentucky and learning in Kentucky with Coach Calipari, I think is a great learning tool. But I, on the same sense, is that sometimes like really good guards don't get to shine. I mean, think about Shea. Did he shine at Kentucky? I mean, shined enough where he got 12, you know, but not all the way. So there's moments like that that I have to take a step back and say, you know, Scoot at Kentucky versus Kaysen in the G League. Kaysen goes 3 and Scoot goes 10.
Would you rather, like, do you think Pressey would rather a situation where he can pick up Scoot, or would he still, like, if he had 3, pull the whole, like, Russell Westbrook and people like, oh, dude, I don't know.
Kaysen's game is going to translate into the NBA so well. And in the G League system, Kaysen's game would have shined like nobody's game in a long, long time. Okay? It fits the NBA. All right? Scoot, it's all about athleticism for him, right? Like the things that he can do that separates himself from the other player, which works, but it doesn't always work in the NBA. Just like Ant, right? Great explosiveness, but it doesn't always work in the NBA. Yeah, he got a $260 million contract in Minnesota, but it doesn't really care. You know what I'm saying? Like, I look at what Kaysen is able to do, and in the G League system, which is designed for the NBA, it would have been like, holy shit. Holy shit. He might have even been number 2, bro. He might have jumped Brandon Miller.
Right.
So that's the thing about it is people can say whatever they want, that I'm a homer and that you're crazy for saying these things, but there's times that athleticism doesn't shine as bright as a straight up fucking baller.
Straight up fucking
think about, baller. Think about White Man Can't Jump, bro.
Dude, and listen, you mentioned before we got into this, you put it in the description, like how the NBA is changing from ISO ball into team hoops, and understanding the path is the key to understanding the future of the NBA. Like, put that all into context with Kaysen versus Scoot.
Well, again, it comes back down to what Scoot is really good at is athleticism. All right, and that's ISO. Great. It's the ISO game. It's the, I'm going to go one-on-one with you. I'm going to make you go, you know, one-on-two with me. That works. That's great. But you look at Kaysen, it's the team. Like, how can I help the team best? Oh, stand over here and shoot. I can do that. Oh, you want me to drive, pass the ball, throw it up? Yeah, I got that. Do you want to play defense? Yeah, I got that. I got anybody you want. I'll lock him down. That's different. That's the dog mentality we've been talking about. Versus the cool cat. I mean, it's the difference, man. Like, it makes a difference. That's why J-Dub is now known as one of the top 3 draft picks from his class, which is one of the strongest draft classes that's been there for a while. Think about that. Like, it's the difference, man. Like, people are still looking at talent and ISO ball as being, you know, the key, but what Sam Presti's understanding is that the all-around player that's playing team basketball is what we need. And you can see it through every of the draft picks that he's picked.
Yeah. And like Frank's saying, health is key for everyone.
Niner by nature.
What's up? Good to see you again, buddy. Giddy, that like button. I like it. Dude, I love it.
Niner by nature. I gave you a shout out in the beginning of the podcast, so check that out when we're all done here, because I want you to hear it, because yeah, man, fucking for real,
from the heart, baby. We appreciate you. We appreciate everybody who's taking the time to support us. And there's just a group of you guys that have made us, like, we've only set up for support in the last 2 days, but Mark Howitt, Ryan Sheffield, El Sombra, obviously you, Niner by Nature, Unk, John Flat, Blake Thompson, K Bizzle, Smitsta, Cameron Peters, Wayne Hode, Bluegill, and Golden Soldier. You guys are incredibly meaningful to us. All of you are just showing up, joining the chat. Like, this is what it's all about. This helps us. We hope that we help you guys get through life a little bit happier. That's all our goal is, right?
Yeah, man. And I love what Niner by Nature is saying in Giddy, the Wizard of Oz. Like, seriously, having a guy like Josh on this team, a lot of people will say, well, he doesn't score really well. He doesn't shoot very well. He doesn't do this very well. But somebody that's willing to dish the ball out as well as Josh can, and that doesn't need to be that center of attention in scoring, right, is key to putting everything together. You can have Shea, you can have J-Dub, you can have Dort, you can have Kaysen, you can have Chet all in the game, one or the other, somehow. Five guys in the game, Giddy in there passing the ball to everybody, making it all work. Because again, Giddy's going to attack when he has a disadvantage, when he has a mismatch. Other than that, he's going to attack to get the next guy open because that's his game. So all this brings together is that you have Josh Giddy controlling the offense and making sure everybody else gets the rock.
Yeah, man. And he's got to be favorite player. I mean, you put up there Shea, you can put up Chet. Like, everybody's got their favorite player. It reminds me a lot of the early Thunder. My favorite player was Russ. My brother John's favorite player was Harden. Obviously, KD was the easy one, and most people liked him as a favorite. So there's some of us out there who don't like to pick the easy favorite. We like to pick the underdog, and this team has it all. And Devin, we appreciate you. We're here for you, so we love you, man.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll get back to Kaysen, right, before we get done with everything. And I want to talk about what Kaysen can do. And the fact is that you're looking at a player that, as he blossoms on this team and with this roster, it's over, bro. Like, there's going to be very few guys. And when we're all said and done, I still think about every single day that we talk about the Thunder and how lucky we've been to be able to watch all the greats. I mean, think about the 75 greats. We've seen, what, six of them, five of them in Oklahoma City?
It's been incredible, right? Man.
We get to see that. Well, guess what? That's happening again. I mean, that's happening again. When there's the greatest 100 basketball players that are all getting together, right? We're going to be seeing Chet as an old man in there. We're going to be seeing Shea as an old man in there, right? We're going to be seeing these guys in their 40s that are in there, and we're going to be like, man, we got to saw those guys in their prime and telling our grandkids about them. And that's what's so crazy about this team, man. Like, you can say, oh, yeah, we're only going to have two or three of those. No. This team is going to continue to draft players, are going to continue to trade players, and it's going to be one of those situations where we're going to see a number of the top 25 players over the next 25 years play for the Oklahoma City Thunder. A number of them. Because look at what we've already accumulated. It's just a matter of time before it all starts coming together and we start trading picks and we start picking up other players and we start drafting these insane players that all of a sudden it's like, how did the Thunder pick up blank again? This is insane. They picked up another top player at number 10 or number 12.
All right, man. Fun. And Frank, exactly, man. Defend, rebound, dribble, pass, shoot. Man, we play it. Make decisions. Make them quick. Say hi.
Hi, Mark.
You like his beard?
Yeah, you be beard.
Niner by Nature, I don't think we play today. Anybody out there know when our next game is? Appreciate that, man.
Hold on 1 second right here. I had it pulled up. I thought it was...
And Niner's asking us this question, but first of all, he says Dynasty. Dynasty, all caps, baby. Dude, all right, man.
I'm all for Dynasties, man.
We get excited too, man. Obviously, that's the mission, right? First, we want a chip, but after that, man, like, we see the way this is being built. It ain't normal.
Tuesday, 6:30 p.m.
Okay.
We play the Rockets.
All right, the Rockets and...
and then we play again on Wednesday against the Pacers at 7:30.
So Niner's asking this question. Do you think Dort is in trouble because of Kaysen? And James thinks that he might already be over for him.
I said this.
Here, I'll be right
when
back.
We drafted Kaysen, is that this is Dort's 2 years notice. But here's the thing about Dort. I think Dort's improved his game tremendously this year. So I don't think this is going to be the circumstance. But I do believe that we're sitting in a circumstance that in the next 2 years that Dort will be traded. His contract, obviously close to $20 million or if not $20 million a year, is a very tradable contract. And on top of that is that when we get to that point where we're trying to sign Josh Giddey, Chet, Shea, J-Dub, all these guys, we're needed to have as much flexibility. So some of the smaller contracts that we have that are like, you know, $12 million or $14 million or $20 million, those are the ones that are going to be stripped. And it's fine. But I do think that Dort is in that situation where if Kaysen keeps playing well, he's going to be in trouble. I mean, like he's going to be in serious trouble. Do I think that we will move Dort to the bench? No, because I think that that will devalue who Dort is. And I think that keeping him playing in that starting role will keep him at a very good value so that you can add a draft pick to him and move up maybe, I don't know, 7-8 places in the draft. So if you're sitting at like a place at like a 10-12 and you want to move up into the top five, like Dort is a very good piece to add to that to be able to do so. So it will be interesting to see what Sam Presti can get out of it. There you go. Like Niner by Nature said, very affordable contract. And Nancy, thank you. Next game is Tuesday at 5:30 Central. Appreciate that, Nancy. You got Mike, Mark.
I can't get enough of Kaysen, bro. I'm pumped.
I know, dude. Like, it's all one of those beautiful things. If we're looking at the fact that we're even talking about Dort being switched out, because here's the thing that was so crazy is last year we were talking about Dort being switched out and trying to find a power forward with J-Dub being switched out with Dort. But now we're talking about J-Dub in that starting lineup, right?
Yeah.
And Dort's still there. And it's crazy, man. Like there is no forward position right now on our team. And I love it because Josh Giddey can play that forward position if we need to. I mean, he's gotten thick. I mean, Josh has gotten big, you know, he's ready at that six. He might even be 6'10", bro. Josh might be 6'10" now. So fuck,
I mean,
man.
Once you're at that height, man, you can pretty much do what you want to do. If
and
you
he's
got
not, he's not skinny.
It.
He's no. got those massive bones. He's got You're those right. work Giddey bones, I call them, man. They look like massive, like the remember when I said we drafted him, I was like, he's not done growing because his ankles and bones and his knee bones and his elbow bones look so big, you know?
Yeah.
And he's just a big dude. And it's exciting to have somebody like Josh that's out there that can play literally 1 through 4. Any of those positions that he needs to play. And the switch offs are easy for Josh. And he played the center of the zone last year. You know, like we saw so much from Josh, and adding him to help Kaysen develop and help J-Dub develop and help Chet develop, like puts him a year ahead of time now. It's crazy, man. Like Kaysen's going to come into the game and everybody's going to be watching J-Dub or this player or that player and keeping an eye on him. And Kaysen's going to come and open the game. He's going to be wide open, corner 3. And who's going to find him? It's Giddey. Yeah. You know, like it's going to be cross-court passes. It's going to be one-handed dishes. It's going to be Kaysen is going to fit into this position so well that everybody's going to say, well, Kaysen needs that starting position. But dude, that's what's crazy is because we're talking about as one of the best defenders in the league, somebody that's not a chump on offense, right?
Yeah.
And on most teams in the league, he's going to start. And we're talking about a rookie outplaying him right now. Like, can Kaysen defend like Dort? Not right now, but in 2 years, he's going to be just as good as a lockdown defender inside of our zone, our hybrid zone that we play, right? Dort is what I would consider one of the best, if not the best, ISO defenders in the league. All right. Remember, it's that old school mentality. It's that old school offense. He's old school.
Would define Dort's best qualities on defense. Like to me, it comes down to that. Obviously,
when's the best times that you've ever seen him play defense?
Like when he's up against a elite offensive player.
Which is what? Which is whom?
I'll go with
LeBron James.
LeBron. Luka. Yeah.
I mean, these guys are what? ISO scorers.
Right. And they might bring a screener, which
yes, Ben is he gets, but that's where he gets the fouls on them called.
Boom. Exactly.
But that's how he is able to make his stripes. Like, that's how Dort is able to understand the defense on the next level like he does.
So whereas Kaysen, to me, his strength at this moment, and I know very little about his defensive strengths, but he's a great off-the-ball defender. He can stop the point of attack and then get out and cover his man. I think they're different types of defenders. Like, I would leave Dort on an island, whereas Kaysen right now, I don't know that I would. I think I would want... I think Kaysen's a hell of a weak side defender, great team defender, and I think having them both on the court actually will complement each other. You wouldn't really want, with a few exceptions, like teams that have two 1A and 1B options, you wouldn't want two elite on-the-ball defenders if that's all the only defensive skill they had. Not that Dort's only defensive skill is on the ball, but that's his biggest impact. Whereas, like, Kaysen, I mean, he plays like a free safety. He plays like a linebacker. He plays... This sense of like, I'm going to read and react.
Yeah, he does, man. I look at the different types of defensive styles that Dort and Kaysen plays, and Dort fits that old school mentality incredibly well. ISO it up, get it up. And then you've got Kaysen, who, again, what you're saying and echoing what you're saying is he understands where to be at more places on the floor than just one. You know, like, okay, you get stuck in the bottom of the defense. That's okay. You know, like, he understands way more about how to help the team out. Right. And I go back to what Dort brings to the table, and I'm a huge fucking Dort fan. So don't take this as me bashing Dort. Right. But Dort gets the ball and he attacks the hole really, really hard. Right. Was it got like a 60% chance that ball is going in? Right.
Probably not that high.
All right, 54%. That's right. There you go. That's what it is. 54%, guys. I think Kaysen could get to the hole and finish at 70%. And that's more because he has more ups. He has more he has that, right? And he's going to attack that hole. He's going to attack that rim. And for me, I see that and I say, what are we going to be able to say? Can Dort get that up higher? If Dort can get that up to the point where he's averaging, because if he gets up to the 65%, 70% chance on range, you know, right, then he's going to be averaging close to 20 points a game. At that point, it's going to be hard to trade Dort. And if you're going to trade Dort, right, that's the highest peak that you're going to be able to get at the end of the season. So for me, Kaysen's not going to take over Dort's starting position at all this next year. He'll be the more like the sixth man. And he's going to have a hard time getting to that sixth man because that's not going to be an easy path either, man. I mean, he's got a long way to go up. I mean, you got Kenny Hustle. I mean, you've got Jay Will. You've got a lot of these other guys that are ready to go out and play and get those six man minutes, man, because the six man minutes are significantly more because of the way that Coach D rotates everybody. And in that fourth quarter, the six man who is the true six man playing really, really well is getting those fourth quarter minutes, which again, it's a lot more.
What's up, Road Dog? Nice to have you, man.
Road Dog.
Frank's asking us about this defensive lineup of Lou, Dort, Kaysen Wallace, Kenrich Williams, Jay Will, and Chet. I mean, look, they can play offense too.
Yeah, man. Jay Will get that three. Man, it's insane, man.
You think that's our best defensive lineup?
Yeah. I like Kendrick Williams there, man. I like him a lot.
Thank you, Niner.
Hell yeah. Niner by nature. Appreciate that, bro. I like him a lot. I think with Kendrick, for me, though, I like him playing that power forward position in a defense. And the reason is because he plays such a great switch ball between the guards and power forwards and centers, man. Right? I love to see that. So for me, I'm saying this is probably pretty damn close to being the best type of lineup. I would love to see maybe another guard, maybe a J-Dub in there instead of Jay Will. You know, and that's not a knock on Jay Will. It's just, again, Kendrick is incredibly efficient where he's at. So maybe if you're not going to switch Jay Will out, then Kendrick for J-Dub.
And look, J-Dub, great defensively. So yeah. Obviously, like you can keep, and Shea's defense has improved dramatically. Like you could argue that he would be one of our best defenders this coming year if he takes another step. And I think that's definitely available. So there's a lot there. Now, Niner's asking about this thing that Dave, you started bringing to my attention.
Yeah.
A year and a half ago, maybe. LeBron wants to play with his kids. Do you think the Lakers are going to have some conversation with Sam Presti for multiple first round picks in a trade to getting them in the top 10 to get him? Do you think that's a reset that the Lakers are interested in doing? Or do you think this is going to be LeBron plays it out and then tries to get to OKC, or neither?
Man, this is something I struggled with for a long time, but you know, as a father and as a father trying to direct the traffic to where my son's going to go, I'm going to take a lot into consideration. Obviously, LeBron is he's staying in Los Angeles this year, but he's free agent next year, right? So, or opt out or whatever he has.
I think he's got 2 years left.
But with his son coming up, I don't think it's just one son he wants to play with. I think that he wants to play with both sons. And the reason I say that is because I think of Tom Brady. Tom Brady was like 45, right? He wants to be 40. Like Tom Brady says something about playing until he's 45. And then Tom Brady got to the point where he's like 43 and couldn't do it anymore. 42. I think LeBron wants to be the first athlete that dominates a league at 45. I don't think he has any, I mean, injury could hit him really bad. And all of a sudden he has no desire to keep on coming back from injury. But if he stays healthy, I think he could play until he's, you know, I mean, what is he? 38, 39. So I think he could play for at least 3-4 more years and be effective the way he's playing right now. So like, why would, if you're LeBron, you're saying 3-4 more years, that means that you can play with both of your sons. You know, like, why not? You know, like, why not be the first dad to be able to play with two sons in the league and be known as one of the greatest? You know, people will say that he is the greatest. And I'm not going to sit here and argue anyway, because the reality is that LeBron has put so many stats and amazing things out there by the and still playing, that when he's all said and done, it's going to be harder to defend anybody that's like, LeBron isn't the greatest. Because if he plays until he's 43, it's because he's incredibly effective and he's still averaging close to 20 points a game in the league. And if that's the case, what is he going to end up with the, you know, scoring wise? I mean, like, it would be fucking insane. Like, there'd be no one will be able ever to pass that. No one's going to be able to play until they're 43 years old like LeBron. So that's where I keep going back to, is that, like, I don't want anything to do with LeBron and his, and the circus that he's going to bring. I don't. It doesn't mean that it wouldn't be warranted or wanted by Sam Presti. You know what I'm saying? But if we had an opportunity to draft a Bronny James, you know the Lakers would overpay for that shit so much. You could hold their nuts in your hand. I mean, you could hold anybody's nuts that want LeBron to go play for him.
The crown jewels, if you will. 10 seconds left. This is Road Dog. And the other team has the ball. And we put this crew on the court of Lou, Carson, Kenrich, Jay Will, and Chet. I dig it. Let me ask everybody who's listening, if you're in the chat or if you're, you know, listening to this later, I want you guys to write down your 10 seconds left, other team has the ball, defensive stopping crew. I know it'll depend on the team we're playing, so I'll go ahead and throw it out there. Assume we're playing an average Western Conference team like
Los Angeles, bro.
Lakers. Yeah. Tell us who you guys would put into that end of game lineup for the best opportunity to create that defensive stop. There's definitely some different options based on different preferences. So let us know if you're the coach, what you would do.
Appreciate it, man.
And before we get out of here.
Yeah, let's do it. You do it, man.
All right. Niner by Nature says, if we can get 2030, 2031 and a second in order for the Lakers to move up, that would be great. Hey, exactly. Now you're thinking like Sam Presti, right?
That's it, man. Like, that's it. All right. And we want to give a huge shout out to the people that are supporting us. Niner by Nature, you are seriously the fucking bomb. We love you. Mark Howitt, Ryan Sheffield, El Sombra, Unk John, our little brother, man, always helping us out. Blake Thompson, one of the OGs. Okay, Bizzle, Smitsa, Cameron Peters, Wayne Hold, Bluegill, and Golden Soldier. We appreciate each and every one of you guys for supporting us. And a huge shout out, Niner by Nature. You're seriously one of the real ones. We really fucking love you. Hope everyone stays safe. We'll be back tomorrow.
Boom.